Let's pray first. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just come to you thanking you for your word, thanking you for the truth, thanking you that we have something we can put our trust in. Lord, I ask you to declare your truth into our spirits today. And Lord, we're binding Satan from robbing the word. He cannot take it from us. You also promise that your word will not return void. It's going to serve a purpose. So Lord, as the message comes, let your word touch our spirits and our hearts and plant it deep. Let it develop peace, love, joy. Let it grow our faith. And let us, as we already said, be changed. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to pour through me by the Holy Spirit. Use me as a vessel. Lord, if I get in your way, please take care of me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let me repeat that again. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So often in our walk with God, we discover that what we want to accomplish doesn't happen overnight or in a day or in a week, but rather things take place over a course of time. Amen? And we also realize that men sow, they reap what they sow. So often. It is in this old, arduous routine of work that men and women enjoy success, both materially and spiritually. We work. Slowly work. However, along that journey come many landmarks and many shipwrecks. So it's a lesson that we learn. It's the lesson after lesson that the student finds his mind being enlarged, right? It's the nail after nail that the builder constructs the home. It's block after block that the mason completes a building. It's with the farmer, it's crop after crop. With the artist, it's painting after painting. With the author, it's word after word. And for the traveler, it's step after step and mile after mile. This morning, I want to talk about the daffodil principle. The daffodil principle. And to do that, we will begin by looking at two trees, two different trees that are referred to in the book of Psalms. I want you to go to Psalm 92, verse 12 and 13. Psalm 92, verse 12 and 13. Hallelujah. You there, folks? Amen. Psalm 92, verse 12 and 13 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So we're talking about a palm tree and a cedar tree, right? Amen? In the Word of God, many of the writers have painted stunning pictures that we can see in our mind's eye as we read these descriptions. For example, the eagle is a symbol of strength and courage and ability. And the mule is pictured as a stubborn, unyielding animal who resists the reins or the bit of a rider. The sheep are portrayed as an animal that is quiet, peaceable, yields to the call of the shepherd. It requires gentle hands to guide them. And finding the guarding of of its welfare necessary from the shepherd. They have to have a shepherd, right? So the Word of God also has particular symbols that's used for divine inspiration. There is comparison of great quality and value to gold. Gold is a symbol of richness in the Bible, in God's abilities. Amen. And there's evidence that fire is a symbol of God's power and the Holy Spirit's anointing. And the palm and the cedar tree that we just read about, they have their place as well. They're symbols of what God's trying to speak to us. Amen? So I want to begin by talking about the palm tree and how as Christians we can relate to it. The palm tree is in a class of its own. It has a specific code of behavior. It develops only from a seed. Consequently, you can't graft it in or raise it from a cutting. The palm tree is always green, and it always bears fruit that is sweet. One of the most interesting things about a palm tree is that the wind cannot blow it over. Many times it will endure the blast of a hurricane, but a storm will never defeat it. If the tree is damaged or bent over during a storm, the top will begin to grow again, and it will grow straight up. Straight up. And a palm tree can grow from 50 to 100 feet high. When I was over in California going to school over there in Van Nuys, down the main road, Van Nuys Boulevard, are these tall palm trees on both sides.
They're still there.
It's phenomenal to see them things. I don't know how high, probably 75 feet or higher. They're lined on that highway. Palm trees can really get tall. Now, the tree grows from within, and it only grows at the top of the tree. It matures in about 30 years. 30 years. And one of the unique aspects of the pine tree is that its roots go down approximately 100 feet. Wow. That's a taproot. It even produces fruit when there's no rain. So let's consider the Christian. What do we do when things are dry? How do we respond when the heavens are shut up? Where do you go when it seems like you are the only one walking in the path of righteousness? And if you're a mature Christian, then you worship anyway. You preach anyway. You believe anyway. And you pray anyway. No matter what comes, right? Amen. Now, speaking of prayer, the Bible's clear about our need for prayer and the help it brings. So we pray. We're instructed to pray, to communicate with God. We pray for a lengthened life, as Hezekiah did. We pray for help, as David did. For sight, as Bartimaeus did. For rain, as Elijah did. We pray for a son, as Hannah did. And for grace, as Paul did. We pray. Prayer is never limited to geography. So we can pray anywhere, like in the deep with Jonah. He prayed in the deep, on the sea or on the housetop like Peter, on your bed like Hezekiah, on the mountains like Jesus, in the wilderness like Hagar, in the streets like Jairus, in a cave like David, on a cross like the dying thief. We can pray in different ways. For example, short like Peter on a troubled sea. Jesus! Short like the publican in Luke 18. Long like Moses at the consecration of the tabernacle. Long like Solomon at the dedication of the temple. In silence like Hannah. In your secret thoughts as Nehemiah did before Darius. In tears like Mary Magdalene. In groans and songs like David. And you can pray anytime. Anytime. For instance, in the morning like David. At noon like Daniel. At midnight like Paul and Silas. In childhood like Samuel. In youth like Timothy. In adulthood like the centurion. In aged years like Simeon. In sickness like Job. And in death like Jacob. And folks, every one of these prayers are heard by the hearer of prayers. Amen? Amen? The hearer of prayers. Prayer will give you strength to climb a mountain. Prayer will give you peace through the storms of life. Prayer will make you joyful, even in the waning hours of life. In Psalm 92:12 that we just read, the word says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And just like that palm tree, we stand apart from the world. And the world should be able to tell that we are different. We are different. The followers of Christ have been called a peculiar people. And knowing you guys is true. It's true. Understand this, folks. The seed of the Holy Spirit has been sown in good soil, and he remains in your heart no matter how the storm rages. No matter, no matter. Therefore, we are to never give up. Never give up. Amen, never. The seed still has life in it. We have been promised a harvest, and the harvest is coming. Amen. The fruit of the palm tree grows at the very top of the tree, amen, making it as far from earth as possible and as close to heaven as it can get. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where their growth is. And praise be to God, there is no part of that fruit that is not edible. Wow. Wow. So as a palm tree can mature through any condition, we should also be able to draw water deep from the Lord. Deep from the Lord, no matter what we encounter. Another feature of the palm tree is that it's soft on the inside, but it has a tough, resistant coating on the outside that protects it from parasites and wounds. That reminds me of some Christians I know too. Tender on the inside, tough as nails on the outside. Hallelujah. The older a palm tree becomes, the more abundant and richer the fruit it produces. Listen to this. The more adversity that hammers the palm tree, the deeper its roots go. When we are faced with life's adversity, do we succumb to the assault, or does diversity draw us closer to Father God? You and I must and can continue to bear fruit, even when there's no rain. Amen? Amen? Even when there's no rain. Think about old brother Daniel. He prayed the first day, the second day, the third day, and still had no answer. But did Daniel decide to quit asking? No. No. Daniel kept praying despite the adversity. Finally, after 21 days, his answer broke through. And folks, that's just a short time. How about Job? Job had multiple problems. But despite Satan's attack against him, Job never wavered in his trust to God. Never. King David had to run from Saul, but he was still able to bear the fruit of righteousness. Abraham kept looking for a city, but it wasn't Jericho, and it wasn't Jerusalem, but a city built by God. Amen. There's an old song that goes like, just like a tree planted by the river, white by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. The palm tree is an excellent example of the life of a Christian. But the cedar tree also has its place as well, particularly the cedars of Lebanon. The cedar was the favorite of the builders of that era. King Hiram, leader of the nation of Tyre, contributed the cedars that went into Solomon's temple. All of the cedar was forested from the mountains of Lebanon. The huge, strong cedars were provided for the framing and the rafters of the majestic temple. Amen. Now, the strong cedar beams were not noticeable by those who would enter the temple once it had been completed, yet they existed just the same. Amen? They served as the inward bracing for the outward pressures created by the walls and the roof. Now, consider what's on the inside of you. As men and women of God, we must have something on the inside that is strong enough to bear the pressure from the outside. Amen? Hallelujah. The cedar tree is spoken of by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Zephaniah, and Zechariah. In the Psalms, the cedars are mentioned multiple times. Why would the cedar tree be spoken of so often? Perhaps because their characteristics were desired and esteemed by righteous men. Wide-branched, heaven-aspiring, and tempest-grappling is the reputation of these huge trees. Listen to this interesting fact. The cedars of Lebanon grew in the most unlikely of conditions. Growing in the mountains of Lebanon, they bore the most extreme of weather conditions. Tyre is a coastal city on the Mediterranean Sea. Therefore, the summer brought humidity, amen, brought its storms, and not just an occasional thunderstorm, but even hurricanes that have twisted off the Mediterranean Sea. When winter sets in, the cedar trees had to stand up to the heavy snows that came to rest on its wide branches. In addition to the storms and snow, those trees were located 6,000 feet above sea level, which is the highest level that vegetation can be found. Some of you here today may have experienced some extreme adverse conditions. Maybe during your growing up years or even in your adulthood. The Old Testament story of Joseph reveals one of those who encountered very difficult and unfortunate events. He was hated by his brothers. He was found in a pit. Amen. He was put into slavery. He had false accusations made against him. He was imprisoned. Although these were heart-wrenching situations for Joseph, they only proved to deepen his commitment and expand his capabilities. Never once will you find Joseph complaining about his situation. Never once. That was because he had committed himself to God.
Right.
Committed himself to God. And he never wavered in his trust of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Hallelujah. The cedar tree rises to its greatest height of 60 to 80 feet high, causing its roots to probe further and further into the depths of the earth. They reach and stretch to find the water, underground rivers. Roots they travel down through caverns and crevices in the mountains into the very foundation of the world. One cedar had the reputation of living 3,500 years. Now, folks, there's something awe-inspiring about a man who has everlasting strength and a staunch character in the face of tribulation. Some men, in their relationship with God, find that time and eternity will not demoralize them, will not demolish them, but it will strengthen them. One day Daniel received a proclamation that had been set forth as law. This law was sealed by the king's mark, and it stated that no one should pray. Remember that story? But inside of Daniel's heart was a strong and stout cedar. For Daniel understood the importance and the effectiveness of communication with God. Through his consistent commitment to prayer, Daniel had developed a powerful relationship with the Almighty, and his staunch faith would not allow him to alter his convictions. Didn't matter what the king said, huh? Listen, folks, if Daniel had only prayed 5 minutes each time he prayed, and most assuredly it was longer than that, but if he had prayed just 5 minutes for 70 years, three times a day, the approximate time spent in prayer would have been 63,872 hours. Wow. Here's what happened when Daniel heard the message from the king in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Just found out it's illegal to pray. So he opened all his windows and prayed anyway. Come on. He did as his custom. He did what was right. He had deep roots in the face of adversity. Deep roots. Daniel knew his God. I believe he remembered something that the psalmist had declared about man. In Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 6, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Daniel brought to memory the fact that his existence on earth was not some mere happenstance. Do y'all know you have purpose? Purpose. He had been placed by God at this particular juncture in history, and he was determined to live up to his calling. He was determined. Saints, man was made to have dominion over the works of any enemy. Any enemy. What threat was there in the lion's den when everything had been put under his feet. What threat was there? There's something more that we must understand about the mind and the heart of Daniel. 600 years before the time of Paul, Daniel must have already had this truth tucked away within him. Philippians 1, verse 20 and 21, Paul said, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by this life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Wow. Wow. No doubt Daniel's life reveals to us that he was just like the cedar. Just like the cedar. Cedars do not grow in mild climates, in clean air, or in well-watered gardens. Cedars grow in adversities. Cedars grow in adversities. Midnight storms, cold winters, dry summers, they only cause cedars to flourish. In this hour, the cry of revival that I hear so often, I believe will only come when we're like the pine tree, the palm tree, and the cedar. I think many times, though, we find ourselves more like the willow. It's easily bent this way or that way. Or by the aspen that trembles under every storm of assault. Or even what they call the bramble has sharp points wounding and stinging those all around. The roll call of the apostles, folks, of the martyrs, of the prophets are full of men and women who were willing to pay the price. Are you with me? Now, I want to close with a story about the daffodil principle. The daffodil principle. I think you'll like this. I think you'll also be convicted by it. Several times my daughter had telephoned to say, "Mother, you must come see the daffodils before they are gone." I wanted to go, but it was a 2-hour drive from Laguna to Lake Arrowhead. "I will come next Tuesday," I promised, a little reluctantly, on her third call. Next Tuesday dawned cold and rainy. But still, I had promised, so I drove there. When I finally walked into Carolyn's house and hugged and greeted my grandchildren, I said, "Forget the daffodils, Carolyn. You can't see the road through these clouds and fog, and there's nothing in the world except you and my grandchildren that would make me drive another inch." My daughter smiled calmly. "We drive in this all the time, Mother." "Well, you won't get me back on the road until it clears, and then I'm heading for home." "I was hoping that you'd take me over to the mechanic shop to pick up my car." "How far will we have to drive?" "Just a few blocks," Carolyn said. "I'll drive. I'm used to this." After several minutes of driving, I had to ask, "Where are we going? This isn't the way to the shop." "We're going to my mechanic shop the long way," Carolyn smiled, "by way of the daffodils." "Carolyn," I said sternly, "please turn around." "It's all right, Mother, I promise. You will never forgive yourself if you miss this experience." After about 20 minutes, we turned onto a little gravel road, and I noticed a small church. On the far side of the church, I saw a hand-lettered sign, "Daffodil Garden." We got out of the car, and we each took a child's hand, and I followed Carolyn down the path. As we rounded a corner, I looked up and gasped. Before me lay the most gorgeous sight. It looked as though someone had taken a great vat of gold and poured it down over the mountain peaks and slopes. The flowers were planted in majestic, swirling patterns. Great ribbons and swaths of deep orange, white, lemon yellow, salmon pink, saffron, and butter yellow. Each different colored variety was planted as a group so that it swirled and flowed like its own river with its own unique hue. 5 acres of flowers. 5 acres of flowers. But who has done this? I asked Carolyn. Just one woman, Carolyn answered. She lives on the property. That's her home. Carolyn pointed to a well-kept A-frame house that looked small and modest in the midst of all that glory. We walked over to the house, and on the patio we saw a poster that said, "Answers to the questions I know you're asking." That was the headline. The first answer was a simple one. 50,000 bulbs, it read. The second answer was one at a time by one woman, two hands, 2 feet, and very little brain. The third answer was began in 1958. There it was, the daffodil principle. For me, that moment was a life-changing experience. I thought of this woman whom I've never met, who more than 35 years before had begun one bulb at a time to bring her vision of beauty and joy to an obscure mountaintop. Still, just planting one bulb at a time, year after year, had changed the world. This unknown woman had forever changed the world in which she lived. She had created something of indescribable magnificence, beauty, and inspiration. The principle her daffodil garden taught is one of the greatest principles of celebration. Here it is: learning to move toward our goals and desires one step at a time. Often just one baby step at a time, learning to love the doing, learning to use the accumulation of time. When we multiply tiny pieces of time with small increments of daily effort, we too will find we can accomplish magnificent things. We can change the world. It makes me sad in a way, I admitted to Carolyn. What might I have accomplished if I had thought of a wonderful goal 35 years ago and had worked away at one bulb at a time through all those years? Just think what I might have been able to achieve. My daughter summed up the message of the day in her direct way. Start tomorrow, she said. Start tomorrow. It's so pointless to think of the lost hours of yesterday. The way to make learning a lesson of celebration instead of a cause for regret, is to only ask how I can put this to use today. How can I put this to use today? Brothers and sisters, some of you have given up on ever accomplishing anything for God. You say, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have the talents or the abilities. Many of us say we can't do it anymore. Many of us say we can't even try. All the while, God's saying, one bulb at a time. one bulb at a time. Today, I want you to make a decision to do what God declares, no matter what your qualifications are. That doesn't matter to God. He would have never put the word go in the Great Commission if he wasn't sure you could be a witness and a disciple. The Church of Jesus Christ is shrinking. It's shrinking. The younger generations have no idea of God's saving grace or Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, or the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's up to us. It's up to us. One bulb at a time. You and I can become like the palm tree or the cedar. Established in our mission. Have we wavered? Absolutely. Today is the day to begin to plant just one seed at a time, one prayer at a time, one kind deed at a time, one act of mercy at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Those trees are symbols of what God has put in us. And he certainly says, don't give up. One seed at a time. One bulb at a time. You know, I've walked this walk a long time, and I know you hear some message like this, and you think, I can do that. And as soon as you leave this place, you'll find out why you can't. Somebody will say something, somebody will do something, something will be whispered in your ear, or you'll have some knowledge that comes up in your mind that says, I'm not capable of doing that. But folks, that's not the truth. The Word of God is the truth.
Amen.
And you can do these things one thing at a time. You're not strong enough to save the world like a Billy Graham. But you sure can plant something in a young person who may become the next Billy Graham. You sure can say things of wisdom in a world without wisdom. You can change the flow of this river that we call America. That's going in the wrong direction. You can, I can, we all can. This little church can change so much. Jesus picked 12 people and they changed the world. One bulb at a time. Wow. We can do it, folks. In you is a palm tree. In you is a cedar tree. And they're tough. They're tough. They're tougher than your situation. Y'all with me? Gonna live the daffodil principle? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll pray.